Let me pray for us. Lord, God, as we're here this morning and we hear from your word, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be full of faith, childlike faith, to just receive, to believe. With humble spirits, Lord, that we'd be teachable before you this morning, that you would guide us in truth, that you'd show us your goodness, that you'd encourage us and give us what we need, Lord, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I should have mentioned something earlier during the prayer time of praise. We had a baptism last night with a young lady who's put her trust in Christ, and just want to thank all of you for that because, you know, as Ralph mentioned, the Lord does hear all of our prayers and He does respond. And we're all praying that people will come to Christ. We're all praying that His kingdom would expand in the hearts of people. And so we saw an answer to that. So I want to thank you for your prayerfulness and just encourage you to keep praying. There's folks out there on the fringe that we're having interactions with, like Brian mentioned, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit's going to do what we can't do, but in response to our prayers, that He's going to bring people into the kingdom, into the family. So I just want to share that with you, and also just thank Ralph and Larry helped too, I think, but with the baptism, the baptistry worked great. I was really happy that the heater works. So it was pretty comfortable. I was hoping and praying, and then I was praying once I hit the circuit breaker that it wouldn't work, you know, that it would just shut off okay, and it did. So nobody got shocked or anything. So just want to praise the Lord for that and just thank you for your prayers. And you know, we're all part of that. So just thank you so much. You know, even the fact that just the kingdom-mindedness that we're all here as the body of Christ together, even on two different nights, that you guys are part of that. That wouldn't happen without you. So you guys are part of all that happened last night. I just want to thank you so much for that. So as I've been really wrestling with the Lord about what to preach about, one of the things as I looked at just different passages and prayed was just the idea kept coming up of being all in, the need for us that wherever we are in our Christian life, that God is inviting us, joyfully inviting us to a transaction of more of Him and less of us, and being more all in with Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 19, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible. Matthew chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 16 here in a minute. I'll have it on the slides here too. And we're going to look at a rich young man. I'm sure a lot of you have heard this passage, but maybe we'll dig a little deeper in this today or see it in a new way. I'm often amazed at how true it is that Scripture really is living. C.S. Lewis said that he had read through the Bible in its entirety, and not just to read through, but really digging into the text seven times in a row, and he said every time, it's new and fresh. Every time God has something to say. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, even if you've heard this passage many times over, that God can still speak to us in new ways through that. So we're going to look at this rich young man, his interaction with Jesus, and the significance for us this morning. Matthew 19:16. This is from the NIV. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" What do I still lack? I think that question we'll see here in a minute reveals something under the surface, but we'll come back to that. Verse 21. Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go, sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. As we unwrap this this passage this morning, I want to share an illustration to start with about what Jesus is really inviting this young man to in this interaction. I have a friend named Dan Morris. Anybody know Dan? He lives in Grant County. They call him Dan the Mountain Man, and they call him that for good reason. You may be an outdoorsman. You may have friends or family who are outdoorsmen. I would stack Dan up against any of them. Dan was born in the Amazon jungle and swam in the Amazon as a kid. His parents were missionaries. And he's been in Indiana much of his life. They moved back, he and his family. And Dan has deer stands all over Indiana. And not only deer stands, but he's an avid mushroom hunter, a champion mushroom hunter, and makes his own syrup, and he knows every plant you can imagine walking through the woods. This guy's an encyclopedia. Just such a neat guy, and just loves, he's a strong believer, loves God's creation. Well, one day Dan and I were hanging out, and Dan said, in one of the woods where one of my tree stands are, I saw mountain lion tracks. And Dan is a joker, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm waiting for the punchline because I've lived in Indiana just about all my life, and I've never heard of a mountain lion ever in Indiana anywhere. And so I'm thinking, okay, he's pulling my leg. Well, he doesn't crack a smile, and I'm waiting, and nothing. So I let it go. Well, a few times over, he told me, hey, I was back out in that same wood again. I was out there doing a nature walk with one of my grandkids or whatever. He likes to do that, and he said, but whenever I go out there now, I'm carrying a sidearm, because he said, there's a mountain lion in that area, and it's over at Grant, or I don't know, one of those counties over that way is where that stand is, maybe Miami, but he said, I'm carrying a sidearm because I know there's a mountain lion in that area. And I started thinking about that, and he's an outdoorsman, but I thought, you know, I don't know that I would be hanging out in that woods if I thought there was a mountain, even with a sidearm. You know, I would, if I came across the mountain lion, I don't think I'm a cowardly guy at all, but I thought, man, I don't want to hang out in the woods with a mountain lion. But I've been around mountain lions in a different setting. I've been around a mountain lion in a zoo. They don't scare me at the zoo at all, because I'm trusting that the staff of the zoo, they've created an environment where I feel safe, where there's some kind of divide, some chasm, plexiglass, something, to where I can look at the mountain lion, and the mountain lion doesn't seem that dangerous to me. It actually seems pretty safe. And I wonder sometimes if churches don't communicate the wrong thing to believers, that we're kind of like the zoo, and we want people to be able to observe the outside world, but just to be safe, to be insulated, to be safe from it, to not be in any danger. And we want to minimize risk for people and minimize any kind of discomfort. We're designed to keep Christians safe. And I think that's well-intentioned, but you know, I've certainly been part of a lot of church environments. I say, yeah, that was good intentions, but we probably didn't want anybody to ever be challenged with their comfort or security or whatever it may be, that they would just feel comfortable. The problem with that is God created us to glorify Him, not to stay safe until we die. You know, that's the purpose of the Christian life, is to glorify God at any cost. That should be our highest priority, to live boldly and courageously and faithfully and obediently for the Lord. And not, safety is kind of a secondary concern compared to that. What can I do to bring glory to God? So that's a first point that I'd like to share with you this morning, is that Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. In fact, He died to make us the ones who were dangerous to the darkness. He made us so that we are dangerous to the darkness, and when we're filled up with the Spirit, that we can go out in God's love, and we're dangerous to the world that's opposed to Christ. Matthew 11:12, this is from the New Living Translation. I like the wording here. It says, From the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. That's a description of a spiritual battle. And we live in the outworking of that in the physical world here, where we live where a spiritual battlefield is. There's warfare going on between powers of darkness and between those who are aligned with Christ and his kingdom. And Jesus' goal in bringing us in to be part of this kingdom is that we would be Christian soldiers, that we would be, not that we would be fearful of the enemy because the enemy is dangerous to us, but that we would be a danger to the enemy. That darkness out there would be scared of us. I like to think that this morning, as we, at the end of the service, we're going to be dismissing here in a little bit, and some of you are going to go to Richard's or Cracker Barrel or wherever you go. Cracker Barrel is my favorite. Wherever you, or maybe home, you know, wherever you go. But that wherever you go, the enemy's scared. That there are powers at work in different places that are opposed to Jesus Christ. And because you're there, and because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you have the love of Christ, the enemy's scared that you're there. And that's what we're created for. Missionary C.T. Studd said this about 100 years ago. He said, "Some want to live within the sound of church and chapel bells, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." I really like that. I like that. And what I'm getting at this morning in the context of this young man in the passage, the rich young ruler, is that he's obeying moral commandments. He's doing the things he's supposed to do morally and abstaining from things morally. But what he's missing out is he's not following Jesus. He's not all in following Jesus Christ, and that's what makes us dangerous when we're all in following Jesus. And it's ironic, I think, that this young man says, "What do I still lack?" Because looking at him, he's wealthy, he's young, he's probably has some amount of influence in the community. And I think most people in the community would go to this young man who's doing so well and say, "What do I lack? You've got it going. You've got so much success in your life, and you're just succeeding, and you're even moral, and people respect you. How can we be more like you?" But this guy's saying, "No, what do I still lack?" And I think what he lacked was he knew that he wasn't on mission with the Lord. He knew that he didn't have the Holy Spirit giving him purpose and meaning that he was created for. There was something lacking there. He wasn't forcefully advancing the kingdom in any way. So with that as a backdrop, I want to look at this passage again and just dig deeper into it. And part of my goal here is just to help us have a clearer understanding of what Jesus offers us with the gospel. So this young man, he's asking, "What do I need? What do I lack?" He's wondering, to be in right relationship with God, there's something missing here. And I want eternal security. I want the goodness of knowing that I'm living for God, that I'm saved. And it's interesting, too, that throughout the New Testament, we see a lot of times people ask Jesus a question. And I like how Jesus just doesn't automatically answer the question. A lot of times he says, "No, here's the question that you should have asked me." And then he answers that question, which is the better question. In some ways, I think in our culture, we're a lot like this young man, that we think that our lives are just about doing more good, as much good as we can, more than just some bad stuff. And if we do that, we're okay. I know when I go out and talk to people in the street or knock on doors or wherever I might be, you know, even at the restaurant or just talking to folks who don't know Christ, a lot of times, I'll get the response when I start getting into a spiritual conversation with them that, "Well, I'm going to heaven because my good outweighs my bad. I do a lot of good stuff." And the problem with that is that that's not what the Word of God tells us. In James 2:10, whoever keeps the whole law yet fails in one point, they're accountable for all of it. They're accountable for all of it. So for God, what the Lord is telling us is, Either the light's on or the light's off. Either you're perfect in righteousness and holiness and the light's on, or if you've sinned, there's darkness. And we like to say, well, God, I've got a dimmer switch. It's kind of in between. I'm okay. It's the light's kind of on, and God says, no. If you've broken the law at all, then you've transgressed, and you're guilty of all of it. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know, of course, that Christ is the only one who ever kept the law perfectly. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, though, we have some good news. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God. That we could become the righteousness of God. You know, I like to picture, I'm a visual person, so I like to have illustrations in my head. It's one of the cool things about when I read scripture, I'm always just imagining. I don't know how good my imagination is. Hopefully it's a sanctified imagination and it's accurate, but that movie screen of the mind and just seeing it in my mind. And when I read something like that, I think of Christ as being right there by me, talking to me, and there's a table. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm making you an offer. And here's the offer. I want you to take all of your sin and guilt and shame, all of your weakness, all of your inadequacies, basically all of who you are, because that's who we are, apart from him. And I want you to just put all that on the table. And Jesus says, I'm offering to take all that upon myself. I'm going to take that from you, so you don't have to carry that anymore. Which is really awesome news in itself. That's fantastic. But then Jesus says, and I'm going to go, that's half the story. Here's the other half of the deal. I'm going to take my righteousness, my goodness, I'm going to put that up on the table, and we're just going to credit that to your account. You're going to be clothed in that. And that's how God's going to look on you. And the wonderful thing about that is, even though to make that offer cost him dearly, he's not asking us to get cleaned up or be good or be religious enough or anything else. He's just saying, no, you just come all in. Just put everything on the table. Let me take it all, and then I'll give you myself. First John 1:19 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what he offers. So let's continue with Matthew 19 and verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Notice the word life there. Jesus didn't say, if you want to just be good instead of bad, or he said, no, if you want life. And that's really what Jesus is offering, because Jesus didn't die to make bad people into good people. Jesus died to make dead people into alive people, people who are dead in their trespasses and their sins, that they could have life in Jesus Christ. You know, our spirit before Christ is dead in our sins, and then he gives us newness of life when we trust in him, and we experience that by his grace through faith. But it's hard. It's hard to go all in. It is. Even after that initial moment of salvation where you trust in him, because it's counterintuitive to us. You know, we think, this is my life. This is who I'm, my thoughts, my feelings, my will, my dreams, what I want to do. This is my life. And I'm okay with having Jesus be part of it, but he wants everything. And for us to do that, we feel like I'm losing my life. I'm giving up so much. He's asking me to lose my life that I might gain it. And we have trouble with that. But the thing is, until we're all in with us, we can't really experience the fullness of all in from him. So let's continue with verse 18. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony." Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? What do I still lack? And Jesus doesn't correct him there. I think if I was Jesus, I would have had a hard time not shutting him down right there. Really, you've been perfect? You've kept everything perfectly? But Jesus doesn't do that. And I think this young man's probably sincere. He probably thinks, you know what, I'm trying really hard here. I'm trying to do the right things. I'm trying to abstain from doing wrong. The problem with that is that goodness is not just the absence of badness. See, even if he's not doing all the bad stuff he's not supposed to do, that doesn't mean he's following Jesus. It doesn't mean that he's taken Jesus up on this offer. I think sometimes in the Christian life, you know, I recall as a child in church, and my impression was that if I don't do this and I don't do this and I don't do this, I'm okay. If I just stay away from the stuff that get you arrested or make your parents blush, then you're probably okay with Jesus. And that was my impression as a kid, but that's not true. The truth is that besides the sins of commission, there are sins of omission. There's opportunities every day to live for Christ and not ourselves, and to choose to just live my own way and not follow Jesus is also a sin. So this guy's been following the rules, but he's not following Jesus. And that's a good place for me to pause and let the Holy Spirit talk to me about that. Am I somebody who's spent a lot of time being concerned, am I following the rules or am I really following Jesus? Is my life really about a relationship with Him and not just a set of rules to do with Him? This rich young man had all kinds of assets and things, and I think about his life. You know, just imagine, what if he had taken Jesus up on the offer? What if he had done exactly what Jesus was inviting him to do? If he had gone and sold his things and then followed Jesus, the difference that it could have made, not only for this young man, but for the community. And I think about how many people might have been reached with the gospel sooner. That this young man probably had some leverage in the community, and certainly with his wealth, you know, there are things he could have done, selling that to care for people, to help the poor, as Jesus said. But I think even just his circle of friends and family that could have been impacted if he would have just followed Christ, he could have made a difference, even though he was a moral person. He was a very moral, religious young man. But he wasn't following Jesus, and he missed that opportunity because of it. You know, I hope, sometimes I'm happy the Bible doesn't tell me everything. I'm happy it doesn't tell me where this guy, if he didn't go to heaven, where he ended up. I like to think, hey, maybe a time came when he said, you know what, that was a mistake. I'm selling everything, and I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, maybe that happened. The Bible doesn't tell me that. But I think, you know, what if he didn't? You know, what if he came to the end of his life and he still felt that truth that, well, I lack something. And he asked Jesus, what do I lack? And I still lack something. My life hasn't had the meaning that it should have had, the significance, the joy and the peace that it should have had. He missed out on so much. Can you imagine the life of glorifying God? He could have had a life like the apostles, seeing the Holy Spirit work through him, seeing so many people come to Jesus. And it was just, he had the same offer that we do with Jesus across the table, and Jesus is just saying, hey, just go all in. Trust me. Just put everything on the table. You know, sometimes Jesus doesn't even want everything. He's like, no, you can keep this part. I don't need that. I'm not asking that from you. You can have that. But to be all in for Christ. Let's continue in verse 21. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, Jesus is really, he's throwing down the gauntlet here for this guy. He's letting him know, listen, you've got an opportunity here. But here's the deal. It's all in or it's nothing. Either follow me or don't follow me. One way or the other. There's no middle ground here. I don't know anywhere I could go in the Bible and interpret it that Jesus is offering anybody a middle ground of compromise and following him. But the offer is out of love. You know, Jesus loves this young man. He's not trying to burden him. He's reaching out to him in love and saying, listen, I want you to experience fullness of joy and fullness of freedom and peace and love in your life. And Jesus isn't going to water that down for this guy. He wants him to really know this. And so he gives him this opportunity, and it's the same opportunity that he gives us because he loves us so much. It's just be all in. Give me everything. I think the first few times I read this passage years ago, I felt bad for this guy. I did. He went away sad, and I'm thinking about, you know, if I was in his place, I don't know that I would have given up done what Jesus offered. I don't know that I would do that. You know, I would maybe hope so, but I don't know. I'm not in that position. I think I'd try to bargain with him. Like, Jesus, can't we start with 10%? Can't we just, you know, can we just tithe for a while and just let me build up to all in? And God's gracious. You know, Jesus probably would have said, just follow me. Just follow me and I'll work it out. But the reason that I think when I've read that in the past, why I felt bad for this young man is I was thinking about what Jesus was saying for him to give up everything, to give up everything. And I thought, wow, that's hard. What a tough thing for Jesus to ask of me, you know, and of him, of all of us. That's a difficult thing. But we forget the other half of that. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you all of me. What you're taking off the table is far better than anything that you're giving up. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you not only salvation, I'm giving you my presence, my Holy Spirit, my love. I'm giving you my plan for this world to help be a part of a life of significance. And the beautiful thing is, if you've had times in your life, because I think we kind of ebb and flow with the all-inness that we're at least I do sometimes, is that when you find those seasons in your life, when you do, praise the Lord, in His grace, He helps you to be all in. Man, what a great thing that is. Just the freedom and the peace that you have. And he takes you outside your comfort zone and you're actually okay with it. He leads you into conversations with people that you thought, wow, how did that happen? And you know it's the Holy Spirit because you'd never talk to them about whatever you talk to them about. But God stretches us and He does really neat things. Things that make us dangerous to the enemy and unafraid. When we're all in. I think one of the takeaways from this story of this young man that we need to realize and recognize this morning is that our greatest asset can become our greatest liability if we don't use it for God's purposes. Our greatest asset can become our greatest liability if we don't use it for God's purposes. And of course, our greatest asset is our life, that we give our lives to Him. So I would just invite you, even as the Lord is inviting all of us this morning, to let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that. You know, and I have no idea what it might be for you. You know, maybe it's giving up some guilt or something over something in the past that to be all in, that you're holding on to that. You know, maybe it's some fears or Maybe it is some idols, some things in your heart that have a place that only Jesus should have. Maybe it's some things in your thought life or mind that need to go. But whatever it is, you know, just asking the Lord to reveal to us, having the courage to say, God, I want to hear from you. And I know it's going to make me uncomfortable because I don't, obviously, if we're holding on to it, there's a reason. But just ask God, God, show me where I'm not all in. Show me what I need to put on the table and just give to you and let you take that from me. Let's look at the end of that chapter. Go to verse 27. Peter answered him, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And I think that's a sincere question. I think Peter is seeing this rich young man, and Peter's saying, "Hey, Jesus, we've left our livelihood. We've left our friends. I mean, we've left everything to follow you." And he's looking at this rich young guy, and he's thinking, he gets to keep his stuff? It's like, this doesn't seem very fair. He's feeling like, wow, I kind of feel like a loser here, Jesus. I mean, is it worth it? Is it, you know, or should I have done what this guy did? And I think his question is a sincere question. In verse 28, Jesus said to them, I think somebody has a CB radio or something nearby. Oh, that's okay. Verse 28, Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." If part of being last means just giving all of yourself to Jesus, that's my prayer this morning for all of us. And that when we do that, he said, listen, you're going to be first. You're going to be first. In the kingdom to come, you're going to be first. And even in fullness of joy in this life, you're going to be first. The missionary C.T. Studd that I mentioned earlier that had the quote about the rescue shop there a few yards from the entrance to hell wrote a poem, and I want to share this with you, just a few lines. And I think you'll recognize, some of you will recognize the last couple lines of this poem. Two little lions I heard one day, and I think the lions here are Christians. Maybe like this young man, except instead of walking away, it's Christians who decided to follow Jesus. And he's talking about two believers who are dangerous because they're all in for Jesus Christ. Two little lions I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart from my mind, would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There's a sense in which all of us are this rich young man. We have the same offer from Jesus. Maybe not for the same thing. The reason why Jesus told this young man to sell everything, it wasn't because there's something wrong with having money. There's not. That's not a sin. But he knew that this had a hold of this young man's heart. And that's the invitation from Jesus for us. Not that you have to go sell everything. And his invitation is, listen, whatever's got a hold of your heart that's not me, let's get rid of that and let me give you something better. That's the invitation for all of us this morning. And Jesus, out of love, beckons us to be all in, to give everything to him. Sometimes a good way to evaluate that, because we have blind spots in our lives, but to look at, how do I spend my time? You know, how do I spend my time? How am I spending the abilities that God's given me? What am I doing in my relationships that's for God's glory? How am I spending my money? To look at those physical details of our lives and remember that only what's done for Christ will last. Are we all in? Have we accepted that invitation? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you not only give us the incredible blessing of seeing what you've written, but you give us your Holy Spirit so we can understand the meaning of it, and then you can apply it to our lives. God, all of us want to be doers of your word, not just hearers. All of us, God, are thankful for your mercy, which is new every day, that you offer fresh new starts for us every day, that there's grace when many days we're not all in, Lord, that you love us anyway. God, thank you that your invitation to be all in is not a burdensome thing. It's joyful. It's out of love that you give us that invitation, God. But Lord, we want your kingdom to be first in our lives. And Lord, we know that even though the invitation that we responded to first from you cost us nothing, when we come to the cross and you take all of our sin and our guilt and we're forgiven of our sins, that going from there, Lord, that you're really asking everything from us so that you can give us everything you want to give us. And Lord, we just want to honestly confess that you don't deserve anything less from us than all of us, than all of ourselves. Lord, fill us up this morning. Fill us up in the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill us up with praise and thankfulness and gratitude to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fill us up with a hunger to see that you are glorified in our life today, often in just simple little ways. But God, make us dangerous to the darkness. Sometimes even just with a quiet prayer for somebody out in public that we see needs it. Lord, we want to be people who bring the light and the love of Jesus Christ into dark situations, that you would be glorified and that the enemy would tremble because of it. So help us to be all in, Lord. Help us to be all in with you. In Jesus' name, amen.